to work. And in my life as an anarchist, as a person who does activism, just as a friend and a lover, I've experienced amazing acts of compassion and empathy.
So what do you make of people who call themselves anarchists, or the way that anarchism is portrayed in mass mainstream media, of autonomy being interpreted as me, not you? I'm concerned only about myself, and I'm not concerned about anyone else. There's no compassion, no considering the needs of others, and some emphasis on destruction and violence. And I mean, it seems to me that this portrayal in the mainstream media is then emulated by people, and there's some sort of feedback thing. Then there is imagery and reality of supposed anarchists acting that way. Then that's shown in media, and then people emulate that, and there's some sort of feedback. What do you make of that?
Well, first of all, I want to disentangle a little bit the idea of direct action, sometimes which is portrayed or perceived or even is violent, with the idea of autonomy as being all about me. My experience of being an anarchist and participating in anarchist communities over a long period of time and in multiple geographic locations is, for the most part, that's just not true. If you are going to rely on other people to get your needs met, if you are going to organize, then there has to be some level of community-mindedness, which is not to say that anarchists are a group of people who've figured it all out and who have great interpersonal skills. That hasn't been my experience either. In terms of violent versus nonviolent resistance, that is one way in which the mainstream media really likes to portray anarchists as incredibly violent, dangerous terrorists, which is this is one of the most difficult things to talk about. I'm not speaking for the entire plethora of anarchism, but just for myself, in that first of all, I don't see property destruction as violence. That is not a widely held view, but that is my view, and I'm sticking to it. And I support a diversity of tactics. I respect a diversity of tactics. The things that we are facing right now are incredibly intense and incredibly dangerous and violent on such a huge level, an indescribable amount of violence. And
you're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. Coming up next, it's the October 15, 2009 edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. You've been listening to a replay, I believe, of a John Malkin interview from earlier this year. We're knocking that one off the air, but maybe something good is coming up that you'll enjoy as well. Stay tuned.
Go down to the quarry in the middle of the night, 'cause you'll never come back. You'll never be right. We lost Maggie there just last spring, and Bing Ben John's Lindy couldn't do a thing.
Big Ben Johnson made a bet with Madman Mike, glad he could cross the quarry in the middle of the night. He got there about halfway across. He started sinking down in the red clay moss. Nearby, standing on the tracks where the trains used to come, was Madman Mike, beating on his drum, laughing out loud, eyes rolling in his head. Standing on the tracks in the Lucifer's tent, with a long red cape and fire in his eyes. He lifted up his hands to the midnight skies, and the thunder started to roll, and the lightning flashed wild, and Big Ben Johnson started crying like a child.
Don't go down to the quarry,
Then the earth gave a shudder, the quarry starts to split.
Breathing down and jumping to the fiery pit,
with a laugh that shivered the center of the bone, a Madman Mike just standing there alone. He's calling all the fallen to take their turns,
and calling the pit and eternally burn.
Oh, Lucifer's caught on the railroad track. He's howling at the moon, cause he can't come back. In the evening when we're sitting there in front of the fire, we laugh at old Lucifer before we retire. Don't go down to the quarry in the middle of the night, cause you'll never come back, you'll never be right. We lost Maggie there just last spring, and Big Ben Johnson, he couldn't do a thing.
Peter, Paul, and Mary song. And now you get some, hopefully some new, but getting older, Robert Norris broadcasting on the Bathrop Spears Broadside Show. Today we have, I believe I'm going to have a co-host today, Coral Reef, who also has her own show, or shows actually, on Free Radio. She and Tenderfoot Tim do a show. And we have all kinds of people creeping into the studio. We'll never can tell what's going to happen next here at Free Radio. People are resigning. People are coming into the studio. Hey, come on. It's fun. I want hugs, of course. If people are coming into the studio, I demand my hugs. But who knows if I'll get them. You never can tell. Anyway, stay tuned. And if you want to call into the show, there is a call-in number, 831-427-3772. And the usual topics I cover are kind of up-to-date, although somewhat delayed, interviews with people on the street. And, my goodness, is that actually a... No, that's somebody else's phone who's hiding in the corner here in the studio. We have a busy studio tonight. We cover interviews. We cover upcoming events, particularly weirdnesses by the Santa Cruz City Council, upcoming guerrilla events. For example, there's a movie tomorrow night for those of you who are interested in the Santa Cruz Guerrilla Theater. There's a poetry reading tonight at the Sub Rosa Cafe for those of you who want to get down to the open mic. A lot of stuff is happening. And let me, in fact, begin by actually looking at what's going on and giving you some of the dope, so to speak. Let's see here. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to have to... I may have to take a brief musical break, but I will be right back. Don't go away. We're going to hear a little more of Peter, Paul, and Mary in honor of Mary, who died a couple weeks ago. So stay with me.
Thank you.
Yes, it's another Peter, Paul, and Mary song, but unfortunately, it's kind of hard to identify. I think it's on an album called Circles. However, goodness knows, it might be another album. It's Hard to Read My Scribble, and this is a tape I recorded many moons ago. Take care, you guys. Okay. Anyway, welcome to Free Radio Santa Cruz again, all you who have fled the station and are returning. Thank you for coming back. What do we got here? I'm going to begin with some street interviews, which we're talking a couple of weeks ago, but I'll try and update you as best I can on what's been cooking. And I think this is where we're at in the street interviews. Let's jump on board and see if we're in the right place. And if we're not, well, we may be in the wrong place, but listening to some things that are important anyway. Here we go.
A friend of mine told me that there's an office up there for the civil liberties.
We're listening to drummer Dave from a couple Wednesdays ago at the Drum Circle. Drummer Dave is one of the drummers who not only regularly comes back to drum it up on Wednesday afternoon in parking lot number 4 next to the farmer's market, but who also has been instrumental in contacting folks with video cameras and tape recorders when the police arrive, usually on some drug bust or other, where by drugs we mean marijuana, so it's not really a drug bust at all. It's actually part of the marijuana prohibition racket that's been running for about 70 years nonstop. Well, actually longer than that, but at least 70 years in the U.S. and in California. And in Santa Cruz, too, I'm afraid, in spite of our great liberal reputation. Anyway, drummer Dave speaks.
The ACLU, ironically, the ACLU National Drug Policy Project has, I think, almost a whole floor, either the second or third floor of this
ironic
building.
Ironic that there could be surveillance police.
And we're talking about the offices above the Taqueria Vallarta, which is sort of some of them are student housing, and a whole floor, as I understand it, or at least certainly part of the floor, is or was taken over, I think it's still taken over, by the ACLU's National Drug Policy Project. The ACLU, of course, has been fighting for decriminalization of marijuana and a more rational policy around harm prevention for drug abuse, but in Santa Cruz, its impact has been sort of like zero or minus 15, as far as I've seen. The ACLU nationally and locally does absolutely nothing about the drug war here in Santa Cruz in terms of the drug prohibition war, whose first victims are often people who are homeless because they have no place to stash their stash, so to speak. Everybody else can, you know, do the medical marijuana thing in their little home and hide out and pretend that there's no problems, but people on the street get busted and hassled for it. Not always, not entirely. There may be some, I think there are not just exceptions to that, but indeed there's a mixed policy. But I would have to say that I believe folks who are on the street are much more vulnerable because they have no expectation of privacy in the public places they're in. If you can't even sleep legally somewhere, then police can raid you while you're sleeping, and because you're actually committing a crime, they can search you without your consent. Although I always encourage people, if the cops are coming, to say, no, I do not consent to a search. Am I free to go? What's your reasonable cause? What crime are you investigating? And thank you very much. I've got nothing more to say. I'll talk to a lawyer. It's always good to ask the police questions and not to give answers. That may sound rude or impolite, but actually you're simply protecting yourself and exerting your Fifth Amendment rights. You're not obliged to incriminate yourself. It's wise, even though in theory you can just say, no, here's my thumbprint, it's wise to give the answer as to your name and address, or your non-address if you're homeless, or the earth, or whatever, or 115 Coral Street, the address of the Homeless Service Center if you're homeless. But answering other questions by the police, unless you are really persuaded that they're, you know, in hot pursuit of a rapist or, you know, about to stop some really serious personal crime or investigating it, that, you know, it's not helpful because, frankly, they're looking for evidence to incriminate you. And also, the general attitude of the Santa Cruz Police Department, the Sheriff's Office, Parks and Rec Rangers, Highway Patrol, UCSC police, and other police agencies, including private security agencies around town, is to their primary concern is that you follow their orders, however unconstitutional, illegal, and discriminatory they may be, or however reasonable they may be, for that matter. So you really, unfortunately, are in a position. People in position on the streets are really, who are in on the streets, have a really series of choices they have to make when confronted with the law. You're going to see some of this, or hear some of this, at least discussed, I think, in the following interviews. Anyway, getting back to the drum circle, and I believe we're talking mid-September drum circle. Every Wednesday I try to get down there briefly to do a little taping to see what's happened. Yesterday at the drum circle, I understand everything was fairly mellow. Of course, people pretty much, there was not much in the way of rain. People have been, just survived the dousing. And I also heard from people downtown, there wasn't a lot of police activity, at least not on Pacific Avenue at the drum circle during the rain. If you have any reports about police conduct or misconduct or general news flashes in the community that you want to pass on, please call in. Again, the number here is 427-3772. That's 427-FRSC. We are Free Radio Santa Cruz. And if you want to catch me off air, you can call 423-HUFF, 423-HUFF. HUFF is an acronym for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, a group that is now meeting irregularly. We didn't meet yesterday, but we'll probably meet next week at the Sub Rosa Cafe at 703 Pacific, 10:30, usually on Wednesday mornings. If you want to be a part of a campaign to essentially fight laws that criminalize the poor, keep an eye on and hold accountable police officers for what they do in terms of their misconduct towards people who are poor and homeless. Check the Downtown Association's bad policies, essentially gentrification policies downtown that seek to essentially privatize the downtown or turn it into a sort of a upscale yuppie area. Which might suit Mayor Cynthia Matthews, but probably wouldn't suit 75% of the population that comes to Santa Cruz. Give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Need help with computers, need help with our website, which is at huffsantacruz.org, huffsantacruz.org. We need help in filing Public Records Act requests with the police department and tracking allegations of police misconduct and brutality. I'll be talking more about that later in the show. And you can help, even if you don't like meetings, even if you don't like me. If you like the idea, you can use your help. Again, 423-HUFF. And to call in and talk about any of these issues, 427-3772. Talk about your own personal experiences, if you'd like. Back to the interviews of the street from mid-September.
Narcotics officers, something up there in that building,
right,
along with ACLU.
Oh, yeah, well,
ACLU.
They have to work together, you know.
Actually, it's UCSC that I really want to find out who is leasing that room with their surveillance cameras.
Well, I know in the past when
it's very indignant of them.
Yeah, indicative.
Indignant. Not American. Definitely not constitutional. And against civil rights.
Well, I know that often, and we're looking at the, I guess, is that 101G? What's the word?
Yeah, 1101G.
1001G. That's the UCSC building that also houses Taqueria Vallarta. The back entrance has a stairway that leads up. I've seen police surveillance in that window of the, you know, either the second floor window or the first floor window on the stairway, but that may be the general, the shared area. I don't know if there's actually a...
It's a public zone where you can pass through.
Right, and so therefore it may be...
You can go up there with a pair of binoculars and look down and...
That was the case a year ago when the police were surveilling the drum circle, at least on one occasion. I don't know what they're doing now, but...
Well, this is against all civil rights here in Santa Cruz.
Now, what's the result been on the drum circle? Are people scared off?
We didn't play drums, but we weren't scared off, no. By no means, because it seemed like a belligerent attempt to incarcerate some individuals in their car, not doing anything, just they were here, and they came, and they swarmed down like vultures on them, and just raided the vehicle, took everything out of it, made them all sit on the curb.
What did you taken out of it?
Some.
How many people were cuffed?
Four.
And how many people were actually arrested?
It was like all three. three people.
I got here in time to see the last person arrested.
Yeah, you got in here in time to see the last person arrested. One
you
of them.
Give their names, say who they were.
No, I couldn't. I don't know their names. No.
Were there any charges mentioned?
Looked like to me it could have been marijuana.
Did you hear anything specific?
No, I never heard anything specific. But they weren't smoking marijuana.
They seized the car for.
Notice that.
For alleged pot sale.
We're talking about, Drum Circle Dave here is talking about a bus that I actually saw, at least the latter part of it, police officers arresting a guy, and then another witness claiming that the folks in the car hadn't been doing anything particularly menacing to anybody, although who knows, they may have been selling marijuana, you never can tell. Oh, that's pretty serious stuff. Certainly calls for at least three squad cars and four or five police officers. I think there were three or four police officers that I saw. And this, you know, it happened next to the Drum Circle. I don't think, in all fairness to the police department, that this was an attempt to discredit the Drum Circle. It may not have even been based on surveillance of the Drum Circle. In fact, I think the Sentinel later claimed in a story that it was a phone call to the police department about a drug sales that prompted this. So, again, about marijuana sales. I say drug sales, that has a more sort of ominous, formalistic, justifiable ring. In fact, none of this has any justification, as most of us have known from, you know, our teenage years, once we began to look at the issue decades ago, and for some reason, probably some very good reasons having to do with pharmaceutical profits, police forfeiture advantages, political cowardice, and a number of other factors, we've had a continuing drug hysteria war going on. It certainly sets the stage for and invites bigger wars like the war on terrorism and all the other murderous foreign occupations that we're facing, that we're not facing, we're, most of them aren't facing, we're facing squarely in the other direction, but that our great leader, Führer Obama, is leading us forward into. And others are simply, maybe they're a little tisking, but you don't see people in the streets, though. I think there are some national demonstrations planned for a week from Saturday, I believe. We have a caller. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert. You there, caller?
Hey, yeah, hey.
Is this Drum Circle Dave?
Hey, how's it going, Rob?
Well, I just played you on the air. Did you hear yourself?
Yeah, I did, man. I wanted to give you an update on what you were talking about.
Okay, go for it.
Are you okay? So, hey, I talked to the guy, and they said they gave him his vehicle back, and they didn't give him his property back, whatever it was. So,
is he charged with any kind of crime?
And he has a court date, and he's got to go appeal and show his card and try to get his property back, you know? And as far as he knows, he told me he was not selling marijuana.
Now, how many people were actually busted? Do you remember?
Four people, it looked like, but that got sat down on the curb, but only three, I think, or went to jail. Yeah, I think they got three people.
And
pulled them all in, and I heard one guy had was on parole or something, so they just sacked him, you know, or something. So I don't know.
But after that, I guess you know that was what, 3-4 weeks ago, or
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Two Drum Circles ago. Yeah.
So it was today is the 15th.
It was the Drum Circle prior to this one.
So maybe September 30th was that Drum Circle.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Yep. So that's the update on that one, and the guy's still got to go to court.
Any other accounts from no accounts like yourself?
No accounts are always around, and there were some really great girls there this time that showed up that played drums, so it was really a cool scene. You know?
Boring. Drums. That's all we ever hear is drums.
You know how guys are that hit drums. There's more guys there than girls, so...
So it's just
we need more girls. That's at the Drum Circle.
Well, or more same sex preference guys.
No. Just more female cruising through the Drum Circle. That would be better.
You think
dancers and stuff?
Sort of. Well, how about some male dancers? What are you, some sort of?
Oh well, there's a few of those guys, you know, some of them have chilled out. I don't know. One guy kind of chilled out. Now he just goes to sleep.
Yeah, okay, you know? Well, sleeping is, you know, illegal at night. Maybe he's trying to grab a few winks.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I was very impressed that this man comes and sleeps right next to all the drums as they make a lot of noise. That was impressive.
Well, he must be pretty tired, or else maybe he's deaf, one of the two.
Or that. No, he smiles a lot, though.
Oh, well, maybe he's an enlightened soul who hears.
Yeah, he smiles a lot. I think
beyond
he
all
does at his ashram at the drum circle. Yes, he practices ashram there.
Well, thank you, Drum Circle Dave.
Hey, and you take it easy, Rob.
You don't mind if I call you Drum Circle Dave rather than Drummer Dave?
Right, that's okay.
I like that better. So.
I miss Brent. He's no longer around.
No, I haven't heard from Brent. I heard from Brent about a week and a half ago. He kind of apologized. He was out of town at the Burning Man, then he was out of town at another event, but he was really determined to get back into it. We may not have heard the last of Brent. Because,
no, I don't think so. Brent Adams is a character amongst characters.
Yeah, Brent was concerned with the Street Performers Guild, and we're still waiting for that guild to get its shit together and start gilding, so to speak, and instead of being gelded, as we say.
Yes, the mall has been pretty glum lately to me, so...
Really?
I hope the street performers are still kicking up some dust down there.
Have you heard of any problems in terms of police harassment of street performers lately, or has it been pretty mellow?
No, just less street performers.
Well, it is true. The weather's turning colder. You know, it was raining a couple days this week.
Yeah, it drives them away, the rain does. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, that's something to consider. Thanks for calling in.
What about this missing man? What's his name?
Oh, Tom Preston.
Yeah, Tom Preston.
You know, I've got to say that I have been very concerned about Tom. Tom is a guy who Doug Loisel, the Homeless Service Center, actually kind of tuned me into because he'd heard from Preston that he, Preston, had been beaten by four police officers
with batons. I heard this, and they broke his skull open or something.
That was what Loisel indicated was either his understanding or Preston's account.
And emergency room.
That he'd gone records to the hospital. But again, none of this, I've got to be honest here, none of this was independently verified. The latest, and then Preston, after giving me his account, sort of disappeared for a couple of weeks. And, you know, you heard me talking about it on the radio.
Yeah, I know you've got a few attorneys, you know, and stuff like that that are probably, you know, getting ready to, you know.
Well, no, I wish we did.
The civil rights card on Tom Preston.
Well, unfortunately, you know, what you really want to do is hire a private dick, so to speak.
Yeah.
We call it a private pussy. I don't know. Anyway, somebody who tracks down, you know, these problems. But, you know, it turned out, at least I got a report from Doug Loisel of the Homeless Service Center, and I may try to call him tonight, although I think he's probably gone home. He kind of disappears into the hills about this time of night.
Yeah.
And he reported that he saw Preston on the Homeless Service Center property I think it was yesterday. Preston is not, you know.
He's not missing.
He's not missing, and apparently he's ambulatory.
Thanks.
So that's really good news, although, frankly, you know.
I still need to follow up on his civil rights there, Rob.
Well, I'll inquire as to what's going on with him. Nobody deserves to be beaten up, even a drunk, if that's what
correct
happened. And we'll see
and
how that
left
goes.
Left on the side, what? They said he was, they just left him on the...
Well, you know, he called, the woman across the street reported, by his report, called 911, and the ambulance came and took him away and so forth. So, but I mean, I do not have independent accounts of this other than Preston's own account.
That
so
the police had left by then, and then he was escorted by an ambulance.
I think the police went with him because he was taken into custody, and he was charged. He was held overnight. This is, again, all by his account, and then he was released by Ariadne Simons, one of the worst judges in town. If she's going to release him, it was kind of interesting. Maybe they just don't want to deal with people who are, repeat alcoholics. Anyway, I appreciate your calling in, Drum Circle Dave.
You take care, Rob.
You take care, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris. In the studio with me, sort of wandering about with a banana and a piece of carrot cake, is, I think her name is Coral. What's your name, madam?
Wandering Soul.
She's Wandering Soul tonight. So maybe you can, you know, pin her down. You can call in 427-3772 if you'd like. Maybe I should make a couple of announcements. Let's see. I wonder if I can be heard over here. I guess I can. That's good. What do we got? We got a couple of announcements. The Sub Rosa Cafe tonight, as I mentioned before, does have an 8 to 11 o'clock performance mic that is happening, as I understand it. Let me double check on this. I'm getting my information from Indie Media, www.indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. And I'm having a little trouble with this. Let's see here. It's a performance music poetry from 8 p.m. on to 11 p.m., $3 to $7 sliding scale. I guess, I don't know. Coral, you going to go read some poetry afterward there? No, actually, you're not. You got other plans,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, some poetry right here.
She's got poetry with you. You don't have to go to the Sub Rosa. Coral will force us to hear her poetry here. If we don't like it, we're going to pay. Or maybe we'll just have to give her some input on that. She's threatening me with a piece of carrot cake, folks. This is dangerous stuff. Keep it yourself there, Coral.
Oh, you're reaching, aren't you?
I better turn on your mic. There we go. So if now you want to speak up, you, of course, can. Also,
what do you have to do to get a comfortable chair in the studio?
You know, that's what I was running. Some of these chairs look like they're made for little people. I mean, like younger 7-year-old, 6-year-old, maybe 5-year-old people. I myself, of course, have chosen the select chairs in the studio. By the way, and this is all kidding aside, Free Radio Santa Cruz is losing some of its key members. We've had a resignation of longtime activist and broadcaster Skidmark Bob. Skidmark is a loss to me because he was always a fellow who downloaded some of my shows onto disc and helped me keep good records. And he has been praised repeatedly, or he should be praised if he hasn't. I'm sure he has been. By old-timers and new-timers alike, and no doubt damned by a few people, too. We all, you know, some of us get controversial at different times. You can't avoid a little controversy if you take a stand. I've had serious disagreements with Skidmark at different points. That's how it goes. You know, we don't agree. Yes, Becky Johnson was a member of the collective. Yes, she did house a free radio at considerable risk to herself and her family in her housing complex for a year. No, she didn't get mentioned by Skidmark in his nice little historical account of this. Yes, her daughter did stand off the FCC when the FCC came to the door. No, Skidmark Bob didn't mention that because the collective didn't like her position on Israel and didn't like the fact that she had mentioned the names of some of the collective members, which is against the policy, mind you, of free radio, even though everybody in the world knows who these people are. It's like there's no secret as to who is in free radio. People know who I am. I happen to announce my name on the air. It's no secret. But anybody who wants to find out would not have to go very far. So you see a lot of groupthink and Stalinist bullshit going down at free radio at different times. That said, a lot of good people, even those whose positions I really disagree with on different points of time, have put in a lot of good energy in free radio and hopefully will in the future. And it's a loss to lose Skidmark, and I think Skidmark probably was kind of tired of the radio scene. You can do something for 15 years and then say, thanks, but I've had enough, which he really did in his show. And for those who want to kind of hear his farewell and his farewell show, a much better produced show than mine, which is largely me babbling on and throwing on some extremely scratchy old tapes and some street interviews, which I think are important, and the occasional guest that's good. You can go to his website, and I guess the best thing to do is, I think it's Pop Defect Radio, but one way to do it is just Google for Skidmark Bob, and you'll be able to check out his last shows and some of his earlier shows. And I was actually going to play something from Skidmark's show. Actually, there's ongoing controversy in the Free Radio Santa Cruz Collective, or was, actually. It's kind of, looks like it may have been settled de facto by some resignations and people just kind of deciding they don't want to pursue these issues any further, but we'll see. There's issues about how much of the collective should be engaging in should have Spanish language programming. There's issues of whether racism is a function in the collective that we have to be aware of, conscious or unconscious. There's issues about how much programming should be local programming, how much should be national programming, how much should be music, how much should be Spanish language. All these are issues, which, by the way, you can become a part of, either A, by calling in and talking about them, or by B, becoming a member of the collective. And we need collective members now. We're losing people. We want folks to help take up the slack. And the way to do that is to go to the Freak Radio website, www.freakradio.org, and fill out an application. There's a particular topic that you are interested in, wish to inform the community on, and feels it's not getting enough information on, please, this could be your opportunity, www.freakradio.org. You do have to pay dues, but essentially the dues are for rent. We rent the studio. We pay the studio for our space. We're not, you know, kicking down salary to administrators. I don't get my cut. Even Coral here gets no funding from this. Or do you, Coral?
No, just tickets.
We're going to ignore that statement. We have no a payola here, I'll have you know, and if I see any such things, I shall have to confiscate any of those, Coral. So, another event coming up tomorrow is the Gorilla Drive-In. That's at 7:30 to 10:30 in the Sub Rosa Courtyard at 703 Pacific. Boy, they're getting pretty chicken shit. They were going to do a film on the wall of the library, and they're going to do a film under the bridge. Now all we get is this doing a film on private property stuff. I mean, you know, gorilla theater, I don't know what you call it, monkey poo theater pretty soon. I'm always pleased when people take back public spaces, and I'm glad that people are showing free movies because that's positive, and I like that. This movie, by the way, is going to be, if I can actually read it, this is always a little hard. It's a benefit for PEDEX, whose office was broken into four times in 2 months. And it's a drama about the plight of seemingly invisible office cleaners in contemporary L.A. who often earn as little as $6 a day without benefits. The film opens as Maya, a young Mexican woman, is reuniting with her older sister Rosa in L.A. after a harrowing cross-border journey. I'm reading again from the Indie Bay calendar. Rosa sets her sister up first with a job as a barmaid, which Maya soon quits after getting repeatedly harassed, and then as a janitor. When her boss demands 1 month's salary as commission, Maya happens upon Sam Shapiro, a muckraking lawyer and union agitator. This film is remarkable for its prescience. It was shown a month after a massive janitor strike ground L.A.'s business community to a halt. Wow, impressive. The showing is a collaboration, the article continues, between some Gorilla Drive-In folks and some Sub Rosa folks to show support for our neighbors and friends in a tangible way. While offers of condolences are meaningful, we also want to put active energy into material support, supporting PEDEX and trying to help them, I guess, with whatever losses they've incurred in the break-ins. Here is a way you can offer support, so come on out, tell your friends, and kick down some cash. That's tomorrow night at 7:30, or is it 8 o'clock? Let's see here. I'll double-check on that. It is at 7:30 in the Sub Rosa Courtyard. Sub Rosa is a cafe about a block from the Saturn Cafe on Pacific Avenue, and it's at 703 Pacific. A $5 to $10 donation is encouraged, but no one is turned away, according to the advertisement. So, that's good news. Let's get back to some of these street interviews, unless, Coral, you have anything you wish to say here. I know you're kind of listening in, but you have some thick sheaf of papers here before you. You got something planned here in the studio? Or?
Not for the studio. I'm just researching what I need to do before I go into court next week.
Oh, that's right. You are, in fact, working on a citation, fighting a the camera caught you going through a red light, supposedly, in Capitola.
Yeah, but I'm finding out that some of these machines are not what they're cracked up to be.
Yeah, I've heard from, I don't know much about this kind of citation because, of course, I would never be caught going through, or that's an interesting phraseology, a red light in Capitola. Oh, dear. I probably would, actually, but, yeah, I mean, it's something I haven't researched very thoroughly or actually at all, and I'm glad maybe you can let all the scofflaws, or at least folks out there who are facing these kinds of problems know your experience once you get into it.
Yeah, I'm supposed to let Jane Kaiser know as well, because one of her volunteers had the same thing happen to her, and so she wants to get all the scoop on what you can do about it to defend yourself if you have to go to court, if you want to go to court. Of course, now they have all these newfangled sprays you can put on your windshield so that you can't be detected, and pay $19.95 and win your case in court. You know, read this book, download this book, all this.
Huh? Now, what's the thing you have to download exactly?
Oh, there's something that you can download to how to win your case, and you know, I haven't read it all.
I guess you would Google for a red light tickets, or you know, a photo tickets for traffic lights. Or
yeah, defending yourself.
Capitola. Mm-hmm. Sort of.
No, I don't know about Capitola. Maybe that's different.
Yeah, well, Capitola, you know, I don't know. Of course, you probably would want to get copies of, you know, whether their machine is working, and so I guess that was my thought. That's what they always do in these traffic courts is, you know, the officer is queried as to whether his or her radar gun is accurate and that sort of thing. I want to announce that I've learned the Sub Rosa has a new recording policy. This is a controversy I talked about some weeks ago. You may have, those of you who tuned in an hour ago and heard some of the interview with John Malkin and the anarchist activist who put together the Anarchist Convergence or was one of the organizers of it. I was really very upset the minute I walked into the Anarchist Convergence with having a voluntary interview with someone. Some little, frankly, pseudo security guard, you know, with an anarchist label on her, in this case it was a her, came up to me and demanded that, you know, I put the tape recorder away. I didn't tell her to stick it where the sun didn't shine. I just left. And I guess, I mean, let's make sure that we separate misogynist attitudes here from anger at inappropriate assertions of authority. I mean, I think anyone exerting authority in this situation would piss me off. You know, who knows? Because it seems to me that the real issue is between myself and the person I'm recording, not somebody else. It's nobody's business. And the same problem came up months later when, in the middle of a Huff meeting, somebody came up and mentioned they'd been given a hassle by a police officer, and I needed to record them at that point, and the manager of the Sub Rosa came up to me and said, you can't record here, and I did stop, but I was upset by the way everybody sort of instantly agreed that they should all follow the rules, however unreasonable and invasive to our privacy they were at the time. And I told her so afterward, and she became upset with me. She felt I was being abusive and so forth. And we had sort of a mediation session with a couple of members of the Sub Rosa Collective, and the Sub Rosa came up with a new policy which said something like, you know, check with the authority figure in power or the manager of the Sub Rosa before recording. I don't see why this should be necessary either. I think that, you know, if you are recording in the back, you know, back in somewhere else where nobody else, because voice can be picked up and nobody is objecting, there's no reason you should have to seek, you know, walk up and beg someone's permission to ask to do something which in any other place, any other cafe in town, you wouldn't get trouble for.
Maybe so, the Wired Wash. I mean, the Firefly.
The Firefly wouldn't give you trouble. The Firefly just would hassle us for other reasons. With the owner of the Firefly gave us trouble. The Huff meeting trouble a couple years ago because I'm not quite sure what their problem was. I think maybe we took up too much table space. I don't know what our story. We don't actually.
They didn't like our politics, and
well, yeah, I think that the manager of the Firefly doesn't like me, and that can happen, you know. But in any case, you know, the Sub Rosa policy is better than it was. But I still think that, you know, it's not just the fact that they call themselves the anarchist. They don't an anarchist coffee house, or you know, they can define themselves as ever they want, and they're doing good things at the Sub Rosa. They have a great library. They provide cheap coffee. They provide a space for folks. They're doing these events like the Guerrilla Theater that's happening tomorrow night, and the poetry reading that's happening tonight. So let's not short cheat them. Let's not short shrift them. Let's not short pants them, by cracky. But that doesn't mean this is a good idea, this proposal. The kind of the authoritarian police mentality kind of sneaks in at different places, and it reminds me of Free Radio's secretive, we don't let anyone in our meetings policy, which, Coral, you were around when Free Radio had open meetings, remember?
Yeah, like we just showed up at the studio and sat out in the yard, I think.
That was in the mid-90s, I believe.
1995.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be that, you know, free radio was much more freewheeling, and even then there were people that got, you know,
I cut my teeth on the memories of Uncle Phil and Skidmark and Spirit.
The B-Man?
No, I don't quite know if I remember him.
Uncle Dennis?
I don't know if he was there the first month, but I could be
Kim
mistaken.
Kim Argula?
Kim Argula. I don't know if she was on the radio.
She was.
Xavier.
We're remembering all these old, for all you newcomers, never mind. But so anyway, I was mentioning those.
I'm sure going to miss both of them. I mean, I don't know if they'll be gone to miss. I'll see them, but.
We need new collective people, folks. We need people to take up the slack. Otherwise, all those wonderful shows that you want programmed and in the morning are unlikely to be programmed. And this show, of course, will continue to happen when it's happening, at least as far as the station continues. But and I continue. I don't know. I'm getting a little long of tooth, too, for this, or actually rather short of tooth. But that's another story. So.
Yeah.
If you have any comments or thoughts on anything you've heard, questions, events you want to announce, do call in. 427-3772 is the call-in number. I did get an interesting phone call yesterday from Doug Loisel of the Homeless Service Center. I mentioned when Drum Circle Dave called in that he had seen the missing and allegedly brutalized alcoholic Tom Preston on the Homeless Service Center property. Or what Doug Loisel would call the Homeless Service Center campus. To call the Homeless Service Center a campus, to me, is quite a stretch. So I can't quite stomach that one. You know, I don't see no textbooks. I don't see no training services. I don't see nothing of that kind. Therefore, let's not try to dress up a pig with lipstick, as they say.
There was a former Christian magazine called Campus Life.
Perhaps, but not at the Homeless Service Center.
Except in the 70s. So it's
there was no Homeless Service Center in the 70s, Coral. In any case, I mean, Doug Loisel actually is the subject, or his Homeless Service Center is the subject of the newspaper article in today's Urinal, or as some like to say, the Santa Cruz Sentinel, in which it's mentioned that, and I commend both the Sentinel and Doug Loisel for this, that in the rains from the last two or three nights, in spite of the fact that there's no emergency shelter at all in Santa Cruz, period, you know, starts to rain, get wet, get a ticket, or get lost, kind of a combination of the three, Loisel opened up areas that are not legal sleeping areas normally for people to sleep and get out of the rain, and he got more than 100 people in there who wanted shelter. Gives you an example of the number of people every night who need shelter, who don't have it. Of course, it's a far greater number than that. And a far greater number than that face the sleeping ban, the city code that says after 11 o'clock at night you face a $97 citation if you sleep in your vehicle or on any public property, and on much private property as well. It's a law that is a police policy and law that's been overturned in Los Angeles, San Diego, Fresno, Richmond, and Laguna Beach. And it's challenged in Santa Barbara, Santa Monica, and Sacramento, but Santa Cruz has neither overturned it nor effectively had a legal challenge to it that is ongoing. So that's our problem in the great progressive city of Santa Cruz, where Mayor Cynthia Matthews is our two-minute Matthews is our mayor. 2 minutes is what she will allow you to speak at city council. And, of course, Mike Rotkin will be our mayor shortly, the sofa bed socialist who's coming up in November. We don't get to vote on the mayor. The city council does. Anyway, Loisel had a couple of reports for me. He said things went very well with people sleeping together, all under the same canopy. He just unilaterally decided it was the best thing to do, and he was right. It wasn't done by the previous Ken Cole. It wasn't done by Karen Gillette. It was done by Doug Loisel. Doug Loisel decided, fuck the rules, let these people sleep for these two nights. Now, I might say that's fine, but, of course, he has to answer to his board. If he keeps this up, he's likely to find his ass kicked out because We don't want to make things actually really provide emergency shelter for homeless people where it actually becomes an honest offer instead of a bullshit excuse or a straight lie that there's homeless emergency shelter in Santa Cruz. He actually provided it for two nights. Now, there is an armory, the Winter Shelter Armory, that will be opening up on November 15th, according to his account and the account of the Sentinel. The armory has all kinds of problems. You have to wait in line. You can only bring a very limited amount of stuff. You can't be intoxicated at all. Although I'm not sure. Now, maybe you can't be staggering drunk, but there's limits on that. You can't have a pet with you. I don't know if you're allowed to sleep in with a couple. Don't know if you're allowed to bring children into the armory. You have to have picture ID. There's a whole series of restrictions that, you know, some people will jump through those hoops. Others don't have the facility or, frankly, perhaps maybe even the ability, and certainly some don't have the inclination to jump through those hoops. And there's only 100 spaces anyway. And there's the number of homeless people in Santa Cruz, I've estimated at 1,500 to 2,000. Census in 2000, I think, said there was 1,300 one night, and that was only those they could count. And it's everyone admits there's inadequate, utterly inadequate shelter in Santa Cruz for homeless people. So good for you, Doug, for doing that, for letting people in. Glad to hear that he saw Tom Preston yesterday. He's hoping to get back to us and let us know. And he wanted me to announce that tomorrow they're having a special homeless picnic. So if you want to go picnic and you're homeless, or even if you're not and you just want to check out the scene, it's 11 to 2 at Harvey West Park at the Oak Picnic Area. Harvey West Park, Oak Picnic Area. That's the scoop. I also hear rumors, I don't know how true this is, and I'm not quite sure it's not clear what's cooking here, but you may have heard about the so-called anti-panhandler parking meters. I don't know if you remember this, Coral. They were mentioned in the Santa Cruz Urinal. These are parking meters that San Francisco has abandoned because they don't work and because they don't want to budget for them. Although I've heard it said that in Denver, where they're getting this idea from, they've been able to actually funnel money from parking meters into housing. But since there's no real program for housing in Santa Cruz, and this is really another one of those get lost panhandler campaigns. Be stingy to the panhandlers. Dry up the sea in which the fish of the panhandlers swims. Sort of counterinsurgency type tactics used in Santa Cruz in the sense of encourage people not to support people who look like they plainly need it, but under the theory that you do better to give your money to a bureaucrat or a social service provider who will decide what is good for those people on the street. Now, it is true that there is a financial crisis hitting all the social service agencies of a sort, although it's really kind of hard to have a lot of sympathy for social service agencies when they don't spend money meaningfully for emergency shelter when they have money. You know, I mean, it didn't take a new influx of money for somebody to say, sleep here tonight. He just did, and they slept there. And it probably didn't cost a hell of a lot more for that to happen. What's missing is any will to do it. And, of course, huge amounts of money being apportioned for consultants and police department behavior and, you know, more fancy toys for the Parks and Rec Department. Money that should end on salaries, six-figure salaries for city staff members, like, you know, whether it's the city manager or the police chief or the Parks and Rec, Zarina, Danette Shoemaker, whoever they are. While other people, of course, are getting the jobs cut out from under them. So anyway, a rumor has it we're going to have parking meter paradise with, you don't give your money to the poor, put your money in a parking meter. I actually have been, panhandlers have come up to me and said, can I have some money? And I said, I'm putting my money in this parking meter because I have to put my money in the car. What that really means is I'm too stingy, and this is my excuse. So maybe it's a way for people to have a nice excuse not to give their money to panhandlers. But remember, folks, you don't need an excuse. Just say no. If you don't want to give money to somebody, say no, I don't want to give you any money. And if you do, say sure, have some money. And I mean, it seems to me pretty straightforward. Bless you. So that's the report from Loiselle. I've got some other updates, but let's turn to perhaps. Do I have any street interviews hiding here? I think I do. Let's see if we get any more of these interviews.
Say that was why they seized the car.
Because they can do that when a drug deal is going down.
They can, but did they say they were doing that?
No, I was just speculating.
Right. Yeah, I don't know either. I know that I've talked to one of these guys before. I don't know his name for sure. He's been at the New Leaf Market area. Don't really know what's going on myself, except what you've told me in the part of the incident that I saw. But Drummer Dave, all I can say is drama.
And you got it, Rob, and you have a great day, man. Really, man. Saint Rob, by the way.
Saint Rob. Thank you.
He's got the answer.
We're talking here with the departing Tom Connor, who is going away.
Although here in Santa Cruz, I must say that oftentimes you'll find that a bungee cord is attached to the back of your belt, so you'll be snapped back here someday. But for the moment, I'm off to Boston, Massachusetts to do theater and take care of family, and there'll have to be new magic men in town, I'm afraid, to pick up the slack.
Tom is a traditional street stage magician performer. You could find him on, or you could have found him had you been around, on Pacific Avenue, often on the weekends, and sometimes at other times. You're also the author of the occasional early 2000 street publication.
That would be, yeah, we had a couple of different street publications. We did have Starstruck for about a year. That was okay. Well, we described street magicians. I think somebody should pick up that slack. And street musicians and musicians, magicians and performing artists generally, who add some character to the streets of Santa Cruz, which adds a draw for the merchants, as they are not a detriment. They are, in fact, a draw. People come here to see the color of Santa Cruz, and I think to eliminate that or to in any way inhibit it would be against the best interests of business here in Santa Cruz.
And so Boston has stolen you away, Tom?
Harvard Square is next up for me, so I'll be standing in Harvard Square doing magic shows. If any of you plow through Cambridge, there I'll be.
Entertaining the academics.
Well, sometimes they're easy to do. It's easy to fool an academic.
We'll hope to get a report from you, perhaps on one of your swings through. Maybe you haven't amassed any tickets you're going to be coming back for.
No, fortunately enough, I'm actually walking out of town with no liens against me, no warrants for my arrest. But that was not for lack of the police trying, I must add. Knowing what your show is like, I have been cited and arrested many times for violating various laws that apparently interfered with commerce. But in fact, it was the exact opposite.
You mean being within 10 feet of a statue, building, monument, a phone booth, or a public bench?
That sort of thing did come up, and it all is very arbitrary because there's no way really to do that on Pacific Avenue to perform when you're not within some of those parameters. I mean, there are benches,
very limited
parking
space,
meters, whatnot, everywhere you look. So you have to contend with that.
You're allowed to be actually next to a parking meter, but all the other items you have to be 10 feet away from if you are in possession of a so-called display device, which is a cup seeking coins, or a table holding political literature, or an open guitar case seeking a donation.
Which is my understanding that the political activists have had some difficulties with that in Santa Cruz regarding setting up card tables to distribute literature, which I find to be atrocious in a democracy.
Well, I understand. Democracy can only go so far. We have to keep things under control.
If you say so.
See, Kyle. Thank you. So it's about 20 to 7. I'm back here at the Drum Circle, which also has a sax and a bunch of kids. And, of course, the Catman is here in his Catmobile. And folks are hanging out around both trees. And I just got the word from one of the drummers that the youths busted in the vehicle for marijuana or whatever they're busted for, in his view, were acting very explicitly and sort of moved their operation across the street. Just a sort of an update.
We're here downtown, intervening in a conversation at the drum circle, as you can hear, between Lee and Ron-A. Ron-A has a, perhaps an update on the Red Church politics. That's the church that serves food every Monday night. But I don't know if I'd be able to break into this conversation, but I'm going to do my best if I can. It's going to be a little difficult. Lee is a hard man to interrupt, but I intend to break in. Let's see if I can. So, Ron-A, what is all this about some kind of, what is this, a Matthews, Mayor Matthews-led conspiracy against the young and against the folks trying to establish a free zone at the church for young people to be able to hang out at?
I don't think anybody over there ever wanted a free zone for the kids except for me. And I think Father Joel saw my vision for that until he, until his job was threatened.
Oh, yeah, I'm moving around so we can actually get your voice rather than the drums. So you say Father Joel, who is, of course, Calvary Episcopal, religious fellow, who kind of presides over the Monday meals, the Monday cafe?
Yeah, Father Joel is...
Joel Miller.
Yeah, Father Joel Miller is keeping the Monday night coffee house going.
And you say there's some controversy there?
Well, I mean, I attracted the kids, and they wanted to shut that down, and I just decided I didn't want to be a part of them imposing, just a real ridiculously high amount of rules. It kind of went against the community I was trying to develop there.
What kind of rules are we talking about?
Oh, well, everything now. I'm assuming there's no hanging out, no smoking, no coming in until the Bible study starts. I've heard they're carted at the door. I was developing a community that the kids could come and be a part of and actually work with me to set up. And you can't impose a ton of rules that are not necessary just because you want to control something. You have to let go of some of the control. Obviously, there's lines you have to draw, but just within the realm of just being hospitable, you can't just lay a bunch of rules and expect to be able to develop that community.
Strawberry.
Church lady. No strawberry. Thank you, Jeremy.
Oh, she won't even tea a strawberry on recording.
Hey, here in public,
at the drum circle. It's all the lights are looking at.
Strawberries are being denied here, but not entirely.
Go.
Dismissed. Yes. So, has there been a tightening of rules?
Before we hear more about the tightening of rules at the Red Church's Monday meal, we have a caller. Hi, caller.
Hi, it's Andrea checking in.
Hey, Andrea, I know that you were out in the cold, and did Doug Lozell actually catch up with you? And
well, like I said, I spent last Thursday night at the shelter, and they wake you up at 6 and boot you out at 7, so it's not designed for the disabled. The mattresses are about 3 inches thick and on a wooden board, so if you got a messed up back, like me, my spine deteriorating and whatnot, it's not too cool. And so Friday night, I couldn't handle it. Well, I got stranded over in the hood, so I spent the night in my car Friday night and was lucky enough to go to a friend's house on Saturday night, and I left this morning. So I'm back in my car tonight, but I was glad to have shelter from the storm, that's for sure. That was a nasty one. But I'm down at the beach market by the boardwalk in my barrio, and I'm going to walk up the street. I got a friend that's going to come by my car and bring me a little something, and probably go around to the sea breeze and hit up one of my homies to use the bathroom one more time. And then, hey, at least something's positive, right? I can sit in my car with my little radio and listen to the Dodger and Phillies game. Yeah, go Dodgers! But I don't know how long I can do this for, Robert. So yeah. I'm just sitting down here, camped out across the street.
Well, keep those reports coming in. If you see other stuff that you think we should know about, do call.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's kind of funny. My neighbor, he's an older man. He likes to sit outside in the 16 Keys apartment. So guess what he has to look at? he gets to look at, I mean, he feels bad for me. He's probably thinking, God, that shitty old bastard threw that poor old disabled woman out in the street. That's what he's thinking. Good. I want people to see me. I'll be sitting there, my car parked behind the Peter Pan Motel with my shirt hanging in the window and my walker next to my car. Well, until it gets a little late enough to put it inside the car so it don't get stolen or something. But anyway, yeah, I hope it's not too cold tonight. Oh, I need some blankets. God, I left my bedding over at my friend's house, and I'm in my car tonight with no bedding at all. So if anybody's got any sleeping bags or blankets, I'd sure appreciate it. I'm going to keep listening, and if something comes through, I'll come back down, and I'll call you back before the show's over. Thanks, Robert.
Sounds good. Thanks, Andrea. And as some of you may know, Andrea called in tears, having been evicted on Thursday, and Doug Loisel, who was on the phone, actually ferried some blankets over to her. But, you know, you got to keep track of your blankets there, Andrea. What can I tell you? You know, can't expect people to call every show to go, you know, hustling over to provide you with blankets. Particularly if you got a car you can store them in. So keep us informed, though, for sure. This is Free Radio, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris. And you are listening to Bathrob Spears Broadsides and interviews. We're listening to Rene at the Drum Circle several Wednesdays ago. I'm not quite sure which Wednesday ago. I've heard it said it was September 30th, but I think it may have been September 23rd, actually. But I'm not positive. Maybe we'll learn later in the tape. Rene goes out on the street every Sunday and gives away clothing and food that she's cooked, and just provides solace for people in front of borders. It's a sort of a Christian religious mission, but she's out there helping folks. That's what counts. And she sees what's going on, and she doesn't like what she sees. She's already talking about how the rules essentially collapsed and eliminated the youth program that she was trying to develop at the Calvary Episcopal Red Church across from the Farmer's Market and Jack's Hamburgers.
Last few weeks?
I think every week the rules get tighter, and that was basically why I made the decision, along with the ridiculous amount of pressure that the members of the Red Church put on Father Joel and anybody that wants to come in there and do anything new and different and visionary. I mean, they've been there 50 years. They don't mind telling you that, and it's their church, and by golly, nobody's going to get in the way of that, not even God. Sorry.
So what kind of pressure was put that you describe as a ridiculous amount of pressure?
We basically had meetings, and proposals were made on like a daily basis to control us and shut us down. And finally, they decided to form a committee to fix something that was running perfectly well.
And who are the main people on this committee?
Members that have been there for, you know, 50 years or more.
That includes Cynthia Matthews, the mayor?
Cynthia Matthews isn't a member, but she's friends of people within the church, and they actually even organized private meetings away from the church building to stir this pot up. You know, they're very hard on visionary leaders, which Father Joel, I think, is, and they've been known to pay people to leave. I mean, they want control. They want control.
So I know that now you are out on the street, and you can be regularly found downtown during what hours?
I'm always at the Drum Circle from 3:30. Right now it's almost 7. I'll be leaving here soon on Wednesday. And then I'm always in front of Borders, usually after 2 until, you know, 6, 7, 8 at night on Sunday afternoons. And we distribute sleeping bags, socks, water, whatever fresh food that I can bring down. And I hang out, and my husband calls it Cafe Rene because I just set up my table and we just bring food and people sit and eat with us, and we just hang out with them all day, building relationships.
No hassles from the police.
No, not at all. Hospitality is very good to us. And if you go on to my coffee house at the Red Church MySpace webpage.
No longer at the Red Church, however.
No, but you can still find it there. You
online.
Yes, you can see pictures of what we do. And actually, hospitality is very good about taking photographs with us.
How sweet. Again, we've been talking with...
I thought you would like that, Robert. Rene.
Thank you, Rene. Where's my... All right, well, here we are in the one free space that's 14 feet from both the Goulart Apartments and the Village Yoga, actually the Aqua Blue, where it's actually legal to sit with a display device or with a sign, actually on the sidewalk at all. But we have three illegal panhandlers.
Oh, my God.
Why are they illegal? Not because of the distance, but because of the time. Yes, indeed, dusk has fallen. And so these criminals, ordinarily mild-mannered travelers, have become sinister figures here in Santa Cruz. Your name?
Rags.
Haley.
Yeah.
We have a sign here, not all who wander are lost. Oh, a sinister attempt to seduce from the innocent coins. Another sign, change comes from the pocket. You change me plus equals food. Food indeed you want it for your heroin meth habit. Admit it.
Oh my God, I'm fucking hurting.
There he is. You see, now, this is an example of the kind of sinister behavior that goes on Pacific Avenue. So where are you from?
Portland, Oregon.
Eugene, Oregon.
Sio, Oregon.
Now, I understand Portland has a sit-lie law that has recently been overturned by the courts. So why aren't you up there sitting and lying?
Because it gets cold up there.
So you fled south as the weather gets colder.
Just like a flock of birds.
And is this your first time that you infested Santa Cruz?
No, it is not.
Oh, really? Well, when were you here before?
About 2 years ago.
And do you notice any differences between then and now?
Many more laws against street kids.
Based upon, you say you haven't seen the police today.
It's not that I've not seen the police today. It's not that I've seen them in the past half hour.
So you're familiar with the Santa Cruz laws? Or?
Yes, I am.
And you think that there are in fact more laws. But which laws do you notice as being oppressive, particularly to young people?
Sitting on the sidewalk, laying on the sidewalk, camping. What else?
Have you yourself been ticketed under these laws or approached by police?
Many of them.
And this is on this visit or on prior visits?
Both.
And have you in fact been cited in the last couple weeks?
Yes, I have. I was cited yesterday.
For?
This morning I was cited for laying on the sidewalk when I was not indeed laying.
What were you doing?
I was leaning against my backpack.
And?
Not sitting up straight.
And who is the officer who, should we say, misdescribed your posture?
Officer Warren.
And did he have any dialogue with you on the subject?
He said, Mr. Stone, I believe you are one...
Looks like we've reached the end of this tape. And I think we were going to have to move now to another tape. And not really know the outcome of that particular event. There's actually a tape I'm missing, unfortunately, my apologies to you, which I played part of and has some more of this particular discussion, I think. But it may remain one of those endless mysteries that all of us will wonder about. But Officer Warren did give a ticket to apparently Rags Stone, whoever that may be, for what Stone says was leaning on his backpack, what Warren insists was lying on the sidewalk. What's going to be the outcome? Well, I don't know. We find an unusual policy in the courtroom of Commissioner Kim Baskett, who will be trying sleeping ban cases unless she is, disqualified or preempted from doing so. If you go to court, you have one disqualification, which I've usually suggested people use. It's a 170.6 CCP, they call it. That's Criminal Code of Procedure, or maybe it's Civil Code of Procedure, but it's CCP. I'm never sure what CCP exactly means, but that's the proper number you use when you're writing a letter to the court to say, I'm dinging this judicial officer, I want another one. But you only get one ding, and so may end up in the court of the infamous Ariadne Simons, who's really bad. And to show you how bad she is, I think I will be playing on Sunday some of the actual Metro trial that I experienced with attorney David Beauvais, and finally got an individual, thank you, Tenderfoot Tim, to decipher the court CD. It wouldn't play on at least four or five different computers using the programs that they recommended. We finally got this particular wizard was able to download it after many hours of work, and I hope to also post it on indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, as well as Judge Simon's decision. This is the case where I was at the Metro bus station interviewing a couple of homeless people after having successfully, although I was threatened and harassed and ignored, I finally got them to turn off the religious sermons that were being broadcast over the loudspeakers. And then a second guard came and told me I had to leave the premises and didn't tell me why, though he later insisted that it was because, A, I was blocking a six-foot-long sign that said Metro Santa Cruz, and you can see it from Pacific Avenue. It's kind of difficult to block. And then secondly, because I tape-recorded him, which I do with any police officer or security guard who comes up and insists that I talk to them. It's just simply to get a clear record of what goes on so there'll be no dispute later about who said what, and that seems to me to be appropriate and fair, and none of that was forbidden by the rules of the Metro. None of that was in the ambit of the police officer's powers, but the judge, apparently eager to uphold police powers, found me guilty of trespass anyway for refusing to follow what was clearly an unconstitutional demand by a security guard and then an unconstitutional enforcement action by the Santa Cruz Police Department. This decision is being appealed, and if I win, hopefully the city will be sued for its behavior. In all honesty, I have to say, no further cases have come to mind recently, or come to my attention, I should say, recently, of people who have been harassed at the Metro, which is one of the reasons I went there, because I noticed that the Metro is using a variety of tactics to try to disperse groups of young people in front of the Metro, ranging from classical music being blasted out on the loudspeaker to removing the low-lying wall that people used to sit on, to just don't sit here harassment instructions from police, to putting in change-making machines from which you have to sit 50 feet away from, or panhandle 50 feet away from. It's pretty abusive social engineering that's going on in Santa Cruz, particularly because there's no public input to any of this either. It's like the removal of benches downtown at the behest of this merchant or that who doesn't like a particular group of people hanging out there, or the moving of a fence along the planter area where people used to sit in front of the Pacific Trading Company, in front of the Rosie McCann's pub that was about using police department money. They set up essentially a prickly type fence so you can't sit there anymore. Because the Heinrichs of the Pacific Trading Company just wanted to move people along, and the redevelopment agency, a staff agency with the city, engineered that way back in 2003. We protested it and so forth and actually did a lot of video on it. So a lot of that stuff is happening. I'll be playing some of the tape of my Metro trial on Sunday. And what have I got here today is the question. Just some more material from the sidewalk. Although I'm tempted to take one of my famous musical breaks. Will I do that? No. Let us press on with the street interviews that I've got, those that are remaining. And again, these are from September, though I think we're getting into October as well. Let's see where we're at here.
It's about 20 to 3.
Sunday, the 11th of October, we have two police officers, Winston and Forbes, addressing a man sitting here at the corner of Soquel and Pacific. Not sure what's going on, but we'll check it out. How's it going?
Stay by yourself.
All right.
Yeah.
So what's the ticket here?
Let's see. I'm 3 inches over the line, so technically I'm within 50 feet of the... Can you wait till we're done? Because I need to ask him some questions.
Go ahead and ask him. I won't stop you.
Well, you are kind of interrupting.
Not really.
So where do you get mail?
No. So, Sir Winston has interrupted the attempt to describe what went down by our man here who's on the sidewalk. Again, he's... there is a change-making machine probably 47 feet away. Is that accurate, Officer Corvus? What do you think?
Yeah, it's going that far. You say you're not proving
it? It looks like a citation for sitting within 47 feet of a changemaker. I mean, surely you guys have better things to do.
Now, it's interesting here. You know, it might say, well, it's just a ticket. What's the problem? City Council passed a new law that 3 unattended tickets can lead to a misdemeanor charge, which means that you face up to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine. I'm not aware this law has been applied yet, but it hangs over the heads of people who are being given these harassment tickets. That's number one. Secondly, these tickets cost anywhere between $100 and $300 to pay, which are many, many tens of hours of community service plus a fine of a cost to pay community service of, I don't know, $20 to $100, sometimes more. Thirdly, they involve people's essentially obeying police orders that involve their giving up their rights in public spaces when they're injuring no one. And the police are simply enforcing a kind of merchant edict, which is changing the quality of the downtown area and making a lot of it a no-go zone unless you are engaged in commercial activity or very carefully following the orders of the police, which should not be the case in a free society. If there's no injuries happening here, if there's no real threat to public safety, if these are laws, and they are, that are focusing on eliminating a class of people from public view, they need to be disobeyed. People need to support those who disobey them, and things need to change. And that's, of course, what I do when I interview folks here. I encourage people to assert their constitutional rights. And also I assert the community to watch this absurdity. And I encourage the police to do other things than to harass people under these ordinances. That doesn't mean I attempt to actively interfere with the arrest. That would be a misdemeanor and a crime.
Well,
there's not a media cover sitting within 47 feet. 50.
I know.
Okay. Well, I just want to make
I say, surely you have better things to do than haggle about 3 feet. Did you ask him to move 3 feet, and he wouldn't move, or did you just decide to give him a citation?
I'm not citing him.
But you're standing here supporting Officer Winston, who is.
So I'm standing here.
I see. Sorry. So are you saying you wouldn't cite him yourself?
I cite people is the same thing.
Why bother?
We can't have that kind of attitude, Mr. Norris. Huh?
Why not? What's this business of wasting our time and money with these kinds of tickets? Why not deal with real crimes?
Well, show me some real crime. Where's it going? Right now.
I don't know. I'm hoping you'd find some rather than waste our time on this stuff.
That's part of our patrolling. Yeah, same thing.
You make your choices, Officer Forbes. Come on.
It's the same thing. We got to walk up down the street, and, you know, we got to deal with what we have in front of us.
Did you have a complaint about this guy?
Actually, we did.
What was the nature of the complaint?
Breaking the rules.
And was this a citizen or was this an official person like a host?
Yeah, it's a citizen.
Somebody in this building, perhaps?
They wish to remain anonymous.
And the point here is interesting how, of course, they're hiding the actual troublemaking person who is trying to remove someone from public space because they're sitting, well, the individual says 3 inches closer than is allowed in a 50-foot radius of these change-making machines. Obviously, the officers have another option, which is say, you're violating the law, move over 2 feet or move over 3 inches. Instead, the object is really to drive this person away. And that, of course, is abusive and discriminatory. And the reason we opposed these laws, those of us who did in 1994, 2002, 2003, and most recently in 2009, when they were strengthened and made worse by the Matthews-Rotkin Santa Cruz City Council.
I respect that.
A laugh is heard from the individual on the sidewalk. And Officer Winston is filling out the ticket.
We have a citation here for sitting 47 feet from a change-making machine. How's it going?
How are you, Robert?
Tired, cranky, getting crankier by the hour. What's that? Oh, I think so. This is you're the reason I'm cranky, Officer Forbes. This bullshit is the reason I'm cranky. Police officers harassing poor people downtown on Pacific Avenue. Take a look. Your taxpayer dollars at work. Check it out. It's an overcast day, and how are you doing today? I hear you. A several hundred dollar ticket for sitting within 47 feet of a change-making machine happening right here. These two police officers spending your money to do this. Harassing an individual who can't probably pay that ticket anyway. You're paying them $80,000 a year to give out tickets to poor people downtown in Santa Cruz. Kind of crazy stuff, folks. Pretty crazy stuff. How you doing, June?
And that was June Hoffman. That was June Hoffman, who's on the Downtown Commission. And by the way, sorry for the studio chit-chat in the background. We'll try to avoid that in the future. June Hoffman is on the Downtown Commission, and the Downtown Commission was the group that should have looked at the most recent set of anti-homeless downtown ordinances that came our way. And, of course, they didn't. And why didn't they? Well, it's hard to tell. Hoffman had no real reason. Catherine Byers had no good excuse. And Jerry Mandel is really probably the reason. She's the head of the Downtown Commission, which is a group appointed by the City Council supposedly to kind of review legislation before it goes to the City Council. That wasn't done in this case. I always like to greet these people on the sidewalk when they pass by who are in positions of some public authority and responsibility and are using it to criminalize and harass poor people.
All right. What's the story?
Let's see. It was...
We see you have a ticket here.
What was it? Panhandling within 50... What was it? Within 50 feet of an ATM. Spitting on sidewalk.
So what actually happened here for free radio?
You basically saw it. I was sitting 59 feet and...
49 feet?
I was an ATM.
Or 15... Yeah, 49 feet. No, change machine. It was 59 feet and 9 inches away from the change machine.
Well, it's the rule is 50 feet, so we're probably talking 49 feet and 9 inches is what you're saying.
Yeah, the line is right here.
So you are actually... Where were you sitting?
I was sitting with...
1 foot over the line.
I was sitting... No, not 1 foot over.
Rene, how can you let this criminal sit here in this position? This is shocking. You knew liked it. You allowed this crime to continue?
I thought maybe we were interfering with his spain machine. Were we bothering you?
I wasn't even spanging.
Oh.
I was just sitting here reading.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
I happen to have part of my sign sticking out from under my backpack, so...
Oh, what did you have?
My sign was sticking out from under my backpack.
Oh, your
a little bit.
Sign. Oh, okay.
And
could it be seen by passersby? Did you get any money?
I did not.
Oh, dear.
And the sign could be seen, but it was not apparent. Like, you could not tell it was a sign for trying to make money.
And did either Officers Winston or Forbes warn you that you are engaging in criminal panhandling within 49 feet and 9 inches of a change-making machine?
They have now.
With a yellow citation, which will cost you $100 to $200 if you take it to court.
Yes.
How does it feel to be part of the tax base of Santa Cruz?
Oh, it is absolutely lovely.
And what is your name, wrongdoer?
Rags.
Rags, how long have you been engaged in this kind of panhandling crime?
Today?
Yes.
half hour.
But you were, so you were, you claim not to even be paneling. You claim to be sitting.
Yes.
Do you think I need one of these?
What, have you had previous experiences with police on Pacific Avenue?
Quite a few. Yeah. I've talked to you before about them.
Nature of these experiences, remind me.
Panhandling, sitting on the sidewalk, sitting next to a building, having a dog on Pacific Avenue.
All these you've gotten tickets for?
Yes.
So how many citations have you racked up?
16 now.
And when was your first ticket?
About 3 weeks ago.
So 16 and 3, is this some sort of a contest? Are you in fact trying to get the most tickets in a month?
I am not. They might believe so, though.
And are the same tickets coming from the same officers?
Yes.
How are the officers, how many officers have actually given you tickets? And who are they?
I believe there have been 5 separate officers. There was Winston, Ranger Wallace, let's see, I have a couple more in my pocket.
You're pulling out some of your collection. Hardly 15 or more tickets, so I see only a few here.
The rest of them were toilet paper.
I see. Well, I suppose that's one use. There's Officer Warren who may have
Officer
given you
Officer Warren,
there's
yes.
Officer Wilson, a female officer who may have given you a ticket.
I have received a ticket from her.
And you also might have gotten a ticket from...
I believe I have received a ticket from the sergeant.
Sergeant Harms?
Yes, Sergeant Harms.
Rene, would you like to make a citizen's arrest to make this complete? You could actually give this man a ticket if you want.
Aw, I'm sorry. Are you new in town?
I've been here for about a month.
Okay, what's your name?
Rags.
Rags. Okay, I'm Rene. It's nice to meet you. I'm sorry that happened to you.
It's almost a daily thing.
Now, you realize unattended tickets are a misdemeanor if you have 3 unattended tickets. So if you don't take care of those tickets, it's off to the hooscow with you, you scofflaw.
I'll be halfway across the country by then.
Well, they may have to bring you back with a warrant for your arrest.
I really do not believe it will be an extraditable warrant for such a minuscule charge.
A quick photo with the two of you together, perhaps, so for our mugshot. My goodness. Thank you.
Okay, wait a minute. Now...
You're pulling something out of your pocket. Renee has her table set up here. She's giving away various kinds of food and beverages. And also usual items. So, Renee, what do you...
Our little group here.
So what do you
and Robert Norris.
Yes, of course.
First, we'll take a picture.
We're getting a photo opportunity here.
We want to make sure Chris is in it, too.
So what kind of things have you been giving and doing today, Renee? Any new experiences?
I'm passing out burritos, smiling. Between breaths and water and pastries. My daughter makes fresh pastries, and we just put our little table and lawn chairs out here on the street in front of Borders.
Wow,
and,
Grandma.
You know, we don't ever get harassed. Nobody ever harasses us.
You don't get harassed. Well, you've got to try harder. Why don't you start panhandling, and then you'll get harassed.
All right.
Or, you know, maybe put out a sign, donations here, and the cops will regard that as panhandling. Possibly you'll get a citation.
Yeah. Bye, you guys. God bless you. I don't know. I don't know what the solution to the problem is. I just know I love these kids.
Well, you certainly don't love the laws, I imagine.
Gosh, I don't really think about it that much. Am I going to make an enemy with you, Robert?
Not necessarily.
I really don't think about it that much, other than the kids complain to me about harassment on their part. But other than that, I don't. I try to befriend all ends of all the groups. Other than the fact, like I told you, if I'm asked by the city council not to be here, then I just have to politely say, sorry.
Thank you, Renee. We have, meanwhile, just...
The people of the state of California.
Champing at the bit is Robert Hutchinson, a.k.a. Hutch,
right.
Showing me various pieces of yellowed paper.
The people of California versus Robert Hutchinson.
And what's this about?
This is all about
trespassing in a Veterans Memorial Building.
I thought that was all over
go.
You and
no,
Brent.
No, we're going to court. We're going to court. We're going to court, to Kangaroo Court here. Then we're going to federal court. If we have to, we'll go to the Supreme Court.
When's your court date?
Pre-trial, 10-15-09.
10-15, so that's October 15th. That's coming up next week.
Coming up next week, yes.
Which courtroom?
What?
Which department?
Let me see. New case, violation of conditional sentence, 16A, 4PCMC, I don't, Department 1.
Ariadne Simons. God help you, yes. Ariadne Simons.
Hey, God is, I'm a representative.
And I haven't heard a report on Hutch's case. Robert Hutchinson is a vet. You're going to hear more about his case in a moment. But apparently he went to court today. It's a dispute between him and Tim Bratton, the manager of the building, which I thought I'd been assured by officials and people who've been involved, like the human rights organizations Bob Patton and Larry Wilson, a vet leader and so forth, that all this matter had been worked out. But apparently not. Let's hear more.
God.
Now, what are you accused of doing?
I am accused of trespassing in a Veterans Memorial Building. I went in there to catch the shuttle to the VA hospital. I had a doctor's appointment for doctor's medical treatment. They obstructed justice. They arrested me for trespassing. They put me in jail for 3 days. I went to court, and I said, look, you people have gone too far here. Now, we're going to go to court here if I'm staying here forever. They said, well, we'll let you go today if you say you will not go near, inside, outside the Veterans Memorial Building. I said, okay, so they turned me loose. So I went over there and gave a report to the commander and chaplain, because I'm a chaplain myself.
And you went to the Veterans Building
and
anyway.
I go there every day. And every time they arrest me, they're violating congressional law, constitutional law, and the Disabilities Act.
When were you last picked up at the Vets Building and for the 3 days
here,
in jail?
8:30 a.m., 10-07-09.
So that was the 7th. Today is the 11th.
I spent 3 days in jail, and I spent a few minutes in court and said, look,
I thought this was all resolved by Bob Patton.
No, Bob Patton ain't doing his job. I'm doing the job. I went to jail twice for this. Finally, I got a trial, pre-trial, a trial set up in their Kangaroo Court, and I told the honorable judge, well, okay.
Is it 8:30 in the morning is the arraignment?
No, I don't know. They didn't put a time on that.
They've got to have a time because it could
be
any time.
I don't. I'm going to be there early.
10:07, 8:30 a.m.
Okay.
You're due at 10 in the morning.
10 in the morning, okay.
On October 15th. Now, today is the 11th. It sounds like...
I go into court.
12th, 13th, 14th, 15th. I think it's Thursday.
Okay. Yeah. Anyhow, I'm standing in front of the judge, the lady Adrian.
Oh, Ariadne.
Listen to this crap. You know, and Fitzsimmons, Angelica, I said, I'll represent myself, Your Honor. You know, and then I said, on second thought, I'll take a public pretender right now because you did not allow me to call my attorney. I didn't get a phone call. You did not Mirandize me. Well, who's your attorney, the judge says? I said, that's client attorney privilege. You'll find out in federal court because the next time I come in here, he's going to be with me and a federal marshal. And if I go to the Veterans Building, I'm taking a federal marshal with me. Clear? They said, okay, you can go now. So I went. Here I am.
Well, thank you for the update, Robert, or Hutch, as you will.
Just the tip of the iceberg here. Now, the rest of that stuff, come to court if you want. Bring the attorneys. You're all welcome. This isn't just about me. This is about our civil rights, our constitutional rights, and congressional law. They've romped and stomped on us long enough here, and you know about that better than I do. You've been a poor leader in a fight on these un-American activities, and it's time to clean up their act. They are facing federal prison, so they better back down.
So, Robert, have you got a email address or phone number?
I have no address. The last time the cops arrested me, they took all my money, all my stuff, my card to my hotel room. They went in my hotel room, took $400 and everything that was in there.
Now, when was that?
This was, I got arrested Monday, sometime between Monday and Wednesday of last week.
So which police officers arrested you?
Well, I don't know. This time it's all on here. There was about 14 of them outside the Veterans Memorial Building that day. And I don't think, they didn't even write me a ticket. Nobody.
Who's your public defender?
Angelica Fitzsimmons. She's my temp right now until the feds come in, you know, my federal attorneys. And they're on their way. And anyhow... All right. I'm a marked man now, so I got to be very, very careful.
Well, I'm looking through your papers.
That's just one incident. I
stay away from the veterans hall inside and out. But aren't you a veteran?
Yes, I am. And they repeatedly arrested me, harassed me, beat me up, and stole all my stuff.
What about Larry, the Fuhrer President King of the Veterans Hall? Isn't he going to do something to help
Larry
you out?
Larry has not done anything but give me lip service. I had to go to jail. I had to set this trial up. Larry is busy with other things. I appreciate what he's done in the background while I'm taking care of this end. He's busy taking care of other veterans, homeless, their widows and orphans. He doesn't have time for this, so he delegated me to take the point on this, get it set up.
He let you go to jail. It's very nice of him.
He is doing more important things. I volunteered for that. He didn't order me. I volunteered.
Okay.
Because he's busy taking care of the widows and orphans and the vets.
Widows and orphans.
And
yeah.
Homeless vets.
Okay. And
so
the homeless. Aren't you a homeless vet at the moment?
Pardon?
Aren't you a homeless vet?
Yes, I am. Thanks to the police of this state of madness.
He's not taking care of you, is he?
God's taking care of me. I told him I can take care of myself.
I hope somebody is, because I'm sure not, and neither is he.
You guys are busy doing your thing.
I'm too busy to help. I understand. Renee is trying to take care of. She's giving out some...
By choice.
Okay.
I don't get paid what I'm entitled to, and I'm not giving them $600.
So you choose not to get paid what you're entitled to?
No,
you don't.
$600 for a room somewhere,
yeah.
Like a cell, because I need to spend that money on health needs and poor people.
So you're not really homeless by choice?
My home is just right where we stand. This is my church, my home. I don't want a house.
Well, thank you.
I'm not giving my soul up to sell out to the country store. That's the bottom line. I'll die free first.
Thank you.
On my knees, enslaved. Give me liberty or give us death. Death before dishonor. Peace to all.
Thank you, Hutch.
Tear down the wall.
All right, Hutch.
Thank you. But anyway,
nicely done.
I kind of had to get that in there.
Renee, any comments on this this mad speaker?
Robert, I just wanted to give you a message.
All right, you get another 15 seconds of fame. What else you got?
I want to go on the radio station, and I'll keep it short and brief and to the point.
Well, you're going to be. I'm going to play this tape on the radio, assuming I don't lose it.
I'll listen to it.
All right. Well, thank you, Hutch.
And I know you're welcome. And I know you will not misquote me like the Sentinel vulture reporters.
Certainly not. I will just play what you said.
I want to thank all you people out there. This battle has just begun. And we shall prevail because we have the truth on our side.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Hutch. We'll tell that to the dead in Iraq, Pakistan, and against. He's Hutch.
I've heard about you.
It's a bumblebee. Hello, Mr. Bumblebee. Don't sting me. I'm a good guy.
I was referring, of course, to one of the hospitality squad, or yellow jackets, as they're called. Or perhaps I was actually talking about a real bumblebee. I'm not sure. You're tuned to Free Radio 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. Call-in number, in case you've been just itching to call in, 427-3772. In the studio with me, the studious Coral. Is it Brun Reef or something else these days, Coral?
However you find it.
Well, there you are. I'll just call you Coral for short. And I know you have you're going to introduce... Yes. you have a memorial song that you're going to be putting on here in honor of Grandmaster Greg, Senor Montoya, as we used to know him, a musician, an activist, a bicyclist, and a number of other ists who died of cancer about a year ago now. Hold it. Let me actually get you on the air. Say that again.
He died 2 years ago yesterday.
He was also your schnookums.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I like Greg. I got many pictures of Greg. Someday I will drag out for you, particularly if you drag me over to the storage. And what song are you going to play to remember this hearty fellow with?
Well, we used to sing Bang a Gong downtown on the Ave, and I did a take at community TV. I think Mark Halfmoon helped and Dan Edler, and so it's really a video. It's coming over as an audio. Gregory's the lead, you know, and I'm singing the high up parts.
And we should say again that Greg is a member, along with you, Coral, of SAFE, Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression, also known as Street Performers Against Foolish Enforcement, which I think is more of a memory than a group these days, although, I don't know, there's a sort of the spirit of safe is still around in the, again, so far hard to find Street Performers Guild. So I guess I will simply begin by playing this tune, and we'll see where it all leads.
That's the truth, with your pocket full of ego. You're built like a cow,
oh yeah.
Well, you're built like a cow, you got a hubcap, diamond star halo. You're built like a cow, oh yeah. Get it on, bang a gong, get it on. Get on. Well, you're a long-haired youth, that's the truth, with your pocket full of ego. You feel like a cow,
oh yeah.
Like a car, you got a hubcap, a diamond star halo. You're built like a car,
oh yeah.
Get it on,
bang a gong,
get it on. Get it on, bang a gong, get it on. Will you be like a car, you got a hubcap, a diamond star halo. You've been like a car,
oh yeah.
Well, you're a long, cool cat dressed in black, get on back, and I love you. You're dirty, sweet, and you're my girl. Get it on, bang a gong.
That was
censorship.
Coral wanted me to play the rest of that song, but, and she's a concern about. You can get your own. She can keep your own show, Coral. I mean, you know. Actually, that was Greg playing a little, and you singing around.
He could have sang another song you didn't ask for.
We'll probably get another one of Greg's songs. He's sung many a song, and hopefully we'll hear many more. You are tuned to Free Radio, and I've got about 9 minutes left before the hook arrives. Dennis being the hook. I'm going to read an article or two before I go, because that's what I usually do, and I never have time to, so I will kind of make time. I don't know if I read this, but in Nicholsville up in Seattle, where Mayor Nichols is doing the usual criminalize the poor in the city's campaign, they have their own tent city. And here's a report. As you know, we were swept on Wednesday, the 30th of September, from the port of Seattle's T-107 Park. It was shocking and shattering, most of us having been separated from everything we own, except what will fill a backpack or two. Since then, many of us have been at St. Andrew's Episcopal Church on 80th Avenue Northwest. Many more, though, are floating between other places, temporary couch surfing, sleeping in vehicles. Sorry about that. Sleeping in vehicles, staying in the jungle. A sizable number fled to motels on Aurora. There are some ideas to try and have a project there. That's not Nicholsville goal, but we wish them luck. Many of the Nickelodeons who were swept last Wednesday will not be able to get back together until we have another outdoor site. This and our inability to get our things back until we have an outdoor site are two reasons why it is important someone, most likely a church, stand up and let us stay for up to 3 months while we secure the permanent site. On this Wednesday, the 7th, our core group of Nickelodeons will be moving to Keystone Congregational Church, and there are more details about where they're going. And again, they're continuing to fight to maintain a tent city up in Seattle. Tent City's actually had an ongoing permanent Tent City 4, what they called it, and I think that's still going on. It's sort of approved by the city, but it's very limited. This is another protest tent city that I believe is trying to emphasize the need to have real shelter facilities, or at least an end to the criminalizing of homeless people outside so they can provide their own facilities, although I probably need to talk to someone more directly up there to get the very specific situation. Those who listen to Democracy Now! Today may have heard that home foreclosures have risen 5% in the recent months. According to Reality Track, about 1 million homes were at risk of foreclosure for the three-month period, actually 938,000, up from 890,000 in the prior 3 months. Foreclosure-related filings are on pace to reach around 3.5 million this year, up from 2.3 million. And indeed, the Pentagon credits recession for recruiting as a recruiting milestone. These are stories that are already on Democracy Now!, so I'm not going to spend much time on them because Democracy Now! Is a show which you can download and which you might even be able to hear on Free Radio Santa Cruz if you want. Obama, of course, our Führer, is apparently, according to the BBC, decided to increase the number of murdering troops in Afghanistan to 45,000. I'm sorry, the protecting the liberty troops in Afghanistan to 45,000. As early as next week, the White House has denied the report. And, of course, the Pentagon has banned photos of the Afghan war dead. A new policy barring media from photographing U.S. soldiers killed in combat. It was introduced last month after the AP published a photo of a mortally wounded U.S. Marine. I only got about 5 minutes left in the show, and I have articles I would like to read on the pro-torture euphemisms in the media. I may get a chance to read it next time. George Orwell talking about the natural language of politics was euphemism, as, say, nice words instead of real words. And it's interesting to see what the New York Times has been doing around this subject. This is sort of an extensive article on another one by a tireless reporter, Andy Worthington, who writes a lot about Guantanamo and has written numerous books about this hellhole that the U.S. government has maintained, having kidnapped a bunch of people that were essentially sold to them by Afghani slavers who picked up people that they accused of being terrorists, but they haven't had the guts to take these people to a court for trial in the last 7 or 8 years, or the evidence. He writes about them, and he writes movingly and, it seems to me, authoritatively, but again, I haven't done independent research. You can catch a lot of his stuff on antiwar.org. Again, no time to read you a lot of the details, which I hope perhaps I will have time to do in the future. Then there's been some discussion of Obama's Peace Prize. That's a sort of the joke of the century. Obama, of course, who has escalated the war in Iraq, I should say in Afghanistan and Pakistan, maintained, actually at a somewhat higher level, the number of troops and security forces in Iraq, and is essentially pushing a larger military budget with the support of your local representative, Sam Farr, and the silence of most of the peace activists here. Although I understand from you, Coral, that there's a new tune that the Raging Grannies were singing having to do with our Führer, Barack Obama, that great audacious hoper. You're shaking your head, yes. You don't remember any of the words or anything of that sort. Let's see.
Check my archive.
So apparently we may be able to play some of those in a future time. And that it looks like, you know, opportunity, or should we say something, is knocking at our door here. It has a beard and a paper sack. And here it is, in the middle of the end of my show. Again, 3 minutes early. I don't know what to tell you, Uncle Dennis. It's shocking. Shocking. Did you, the one who drove Skidmark Bob from the air, did you drive the V-Man out of the studio? What's the truth? Come on, tell us. So far, we have a silent response. I'll let you.
Well, I just want to know who's going to throw you off the air on Sunday.
He's, as you can see, the plot is thickening, or sickening, depending on how you look at it. Anyway, I think that's about it for Bathroom Spears broadsides at this particular time.
That's about enough of you.
And of course, Dennis, as is usual, pungent commentary to make. I was going to read you a little something about Medea Benjamin's latest. Well, we have to stay in Afghanistan to protect women's rights. Her latest little riff on that. That's an amusing one that we'll hopefully pick up on Sunday. If you want to check it out, you can Google for it, Medea Benjamin in Afghanistan, and you'll find a lengthy interview as she double talks back and forth. Not clear whether she's confused or brainwashed or both. But I just cannot agree with that poor woman. Anyway, Obama is coming to San Francisco if he's not already there, and he is not making much of a stop because he doesn't want protesters to interfere with his audacious and hopeful campaign. Hopefully some will. That's about it for this edition of Bathrob Spears Broadsides. A final salute to Skidmark Bob. Again, if you want to hear his show, you can go online, Google for Skidmark Bob, and you'll be able to find him. And I will try to actually find something to put in the... Maybe Uncle Dennis here can whip out one of his endless CDs or possibly his scratchy old vinyl records. And
oh, let's toss a CD in there.
He's going to toss a CD on. I'll be back on Sunday, and if you want to get in touch with me between times, you can call the Huff line, 423-HUFF. Few do, but those who do will get a response, 423-4833. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrob Spears Broadsides, and... talk to you again at 9:30 on Sunday morning if you want to.
Tingling there like clouds all his tears. Thank you. Yes, welcome to From the Cream to the Dregs. Uncle Dennis here sitting in on a actually clear and probably slightly cool Thursday evening. Welcome to the Ides of October, and we'll be here till about 11 o'clock to be followed by the Hour of Slack Church of the Subgenius Show, as usual. But until then, we'll have music coming up 9 o'clock, of course, the Earth First News. All the environmental news, Earth First Update, all the environmental news you can use. And then, of course, at 10 o'clock, we'll have an hour of Spotlight Group of the Week. 1 hour of the music of one group or musician brought to you for your entertainment and edification. So we'll be uncorking the Brew of the Week here very shortly. But until then, a little bit more music here on Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1. We're also at www.freakradio.org. Check it out, streaming online. That isn't what I wanted. Wrong button.
Jelly, won't you come along?